They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining me in the studio today, we have Frank Short. Frank, thank you for coming back. I didn't think you'd be back to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. We're a little early, but we've got a whole lot of other stuff going on this year. For some reason, the HOA bills down in Virginia have just been abominable.
They have been abominable, Sue. We've been doing this for a lot of years. We've made several trips to Richmond, including a trip this year that we'll talk about in a few minutes. But I have never seen a year in which legislation about homeowners has been so unfriendly to the homeowners who live in condominiums or homeowners associations. It was a terrible pack of bills, and three of them in particular that we'll be talking about tonight, House Bill 530, House Bill 690, and House Bill 791. We went down to Richmond, and we talked to the subcommittee number 2 of the Senate General Laws Committee, and then we also talked in front of the full General Laws Committee that afternoon before they voted on these bills. And we'll talk about what's in the bills and why we didn't like them. We'll talk about some improvements that we were able to make on two of them right on the spot. And then we'll talk about House Bill 791, which is far and away, the worst of the three, and where that is, and where it may be going, and what people might be able to do to help us influence the Virginia legislature with regard to that bill.
I've never seen anything go to this point before, have you, Frank? Where they've had to have a special committee?
Well, I think what she's talking about is that we had a bill that passed the House and a bill that passed the Senate, and the Senate amended what cleared the House. And when it went back to the House did not accept the Senate amendments. The Senate insisted on its amendments and requested a committee. This is on 791. This is and only 791. This is not happening with 530 or 690. Both of those have passed both houses with the amendments that we were able to get through when we went to Richmond. And we'll talk about those amendments.
Yeah, we can talk about the two lesser of the evil ones and then get back to 791. Yeah. And you had a big hand on doing that. They actually asked you for language to work on those bills.
Well, they asked for language. They asked for proposed amending language. Mm-hmm. Right while I was talking to him, and I gave them proposed language. And this is subcommittee number 2 of Senate General Laws, and they put it in the bill right there.
And it was accepted.
And it was accepted by the Senate General Laws Committee, and it passed the Senate with those amendments that we're going to talk about on both 530 and 690.
Well, I'm going to shut up and I'm going to let you tell us about these bills.
Okay, well, we'll start with House Bill 530, and this began as a good bill from Delegate Pogue. And the bill would have required condo and HOA boards of directors to comply with their own governing documents. I know, what a concept. Mm-hmm. And the law. And the bill would have made it clear that if a homeowner sues an HOA or a condominium for violating the governing documents, then the homeowner is entitled to recover attorney fees and costs just as the HOA or condo would if they sued and won. An amendment to that bill gutted the requirement. Unless the playing field is leveled, we told the Senate, this bill deserves to be defeated. HOAs and condominium boards should be required to follow the law and their own governing documents, and if they fail to do so and are sued by a homeowner, that homeowner should be able to recover attorney fees and costs. So when we went to Richmond and we talked to the Senate General Laws Subcommittee, Delegate Pogue was there. And she said that her intent was to make sure that when a homeowner sued an association, number one, the homeowner had standing because one of her constituents brought an action against an association, and the court ruled that that homeowner had no standing because this provision of the law, 55.515, did not confer standing on homeowners. And the bill was amended to take out Delegate Pogue's recommended language that the association is required to comply with the governing documents and the law. They took out the word association, and they left the requirement for homeowners and anybody who's entitled to occupy a lot. And they put in a sentence that said, this section shall not preclude an action against the association, period. Well,
what does that mean?
Well, what it means is, yeah, you can sue the association, but the provision in the bill about recovering attorney fees, that doesn't apply to you, Mr. Homeowner. The association will be able to recover if they win, but you won't. So I asked Delegate Pogue if that was her intent, and she said, no, that's not what I intended. And I said, well, Delegate Pogue, was your intent that this bill authorized the recovery by the prevailing party in any such action of reasonable attorney fees and costs expended in the matter and interest on the judgment? She said, yes. That was my intent. I said, well, why don't we amend the bill a little bit further and put that in there so it tracks with your intent? And in the back of the room, you had the Association of Community Managers and the CAI lawyers, and the sounds were something like this.
They were holding up the wall at the back of the room.
So the bill, as it has now passed both houses of the Virginia legislature, ends with this language: this section shall not preclude an action against the association and authorizes the recovery by the prevailing party in any such action of reasonable attorney fees and costs expended in the matter and interest on the judgment as provided in the Virginia statute for such actions. So we now have a much more level playing field to ensure that when a homeowner sues, as some homeowners have done, the association will not be able to argue that they're not entitled to attorney fees. Actually, Justice Mims of the Virginia Supreme Court took care of that for us judicially, but we wanted to get it in the law too, and if the governor signs this, then it will be in the law. So that was House Bill 530, and we have Delegate Pogue to thank for being there and for explaining to the Senate subcommittee that that was exactly what she intended.
You know what really ticked me off during that whole hearing, Frank, was that never once has anybody asked us as homeowners if this was what we wanted and if it was okay with us. Yet when you came up with that language, that would accomplish what Delegate Pogue wanted, they turned around to the three clowns in the back of the room and said, "Is that okay with you?" And I don't think they objected too much, did they?
I don't think they wanted to object in front of Delegate Pogue, but I think that they were pretty floored by what happened, because they thought it was this was going to be bucks time for the management companies and the law firms, and they had no risk. You know, not every homeowner reads the Virginia Supreme Court cases the way you and I do, and not every homeowner is going to, you know, avoid being bamboozled by the management company when the management company says, "Oh well, you know, you could sue us, but even if you win, you're going to pay your own attorney fees." So,
and if we win, you're going to pay ours as well.
That's right.
So guess what? We're not going to
sue anymore.
No. No, let's, I mean, we're going to have to, the thing is, we're going to have to keep watching this every single year, because they're going to come back with language next year and the year after.
You know, that's the process, and it's unfortunate, but one of these days, based on what we see happening right now, and we'll talk about what's happening with the 791 process, one of these days the winds are going to be shifting. And we've said this before, you know, CAI lawyers, watch out.
Get out of the way, you said.
Yeah, watch out. Because the pendulum is swinging, and you better not be standing in front of it when it comes in your direction.
So, no, I'm kind of pleased with what we've done.
Well, I'm pretty pleased, too. And we have a lot of other people to thank, and we're going to absolutely get to that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, that's number one. That was one bill that started out great, was for God knows what reason amended, and why the legislator said, "Oh, that's okay. We don't think HOA should have to follow the rules or obey the law. We just write the law. They don't have to follow it."
Yes.
But, I mean, they voted for that.
Yeah.
They voted for that.
Well, they voted for it because, you know, once again, they bought into the bill of goods when, you know, the CAA lobbying down there is a thing to behold. You really have to watch the legions of people that they've got walking around the halls of the legislature.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And you know, if you're a realtor out there in Virginia, you ought to know that the Virginia Realtors Association,
yes,
the Virginia Association of Realtors, I think the fellow's name is Chip Dix.
Yes.
Stood up and said, "Well, the Virginia Association of Realtors supports this bill."
Mm-hmm.
You might want to call Mr. Dix and say, "Mr. Dix, the Virginia Association of Realtors, we want to be able to continue to sell homes in these places. And right now, we're finding that homes that are not in a homeowners association are already selling for a premium just because they're not in homeowners associations." And a lot of these people who live in associations, you ask them, they'll tell you, "I will never buy in another one.
Oh,
I
yeah.
will never, ever buy in a homeowners association again."
Oh, yeah. I mean, I hear from so many people. And there's so many lists and chat groups and things out there, Frank. And people don't like the damn things.
Right. And they don't like them because they've got too much power.
Yeah.
If associations would get out of this business of trying to operate kangaroo court systems and fine people and investigate people and punish homeowners, if they'd get away from that, and they'd start taking care of the common areas. Number one, every minute that they don't spend running a kangaroo court system is one more minute when they can be looking at that management company.
That's right.
And finding out what they're doing. And overseeing the way the management company does contracting, the way the management company handles the common areas. And to the extent that a management company can steer them away from that type of stuff, "Oh, you need to go after Susie because, you know, she had an unpolished doorknob," and we all know what that can lead to.
Yeah.
So you better, you know, that is not coincidental. That is, I believe, part of the plan. You know, we don't want these boards looking at us, so we better give them something else to do when they come to a meeting. And if we can make them, you know, operate a court system and go out and inspect Susie's house and check whether her doorknob is polished or whether her siding is the right shade of white, then they won't be looking at us. And the lawyers are just, you better enforce everything. You know, we're very happy to take your money to do that. Well, if those lawyers find that they're advising homeowners to go after things that the homeowners association doesn't have any business going after because it's not within their authorities, and they start losing cases and they start having to pay attorney fees to the other sides, then the boards are going to say, well, you know, maybe we ought to give a lot of thought before we start going after people. Maybe we better be sure that what we're doing is within our rights, and maybe we better be able to be sure that we can prove it, not in our own kangaroo court, but in what's called the real court with a real judge and real due process and real rules of evidence. But we'll talk about that more when we get to 791.
Okay.
So the next bill that we got to talk about was House Bill 690, and this was introduced by Delegate Massey. And that bill would have allowed homeowners associations and boards of directors from condos that failed. They tried and they failed to get the homeowners to approve a change to the declaration.
Right.
Now, the declaration is the top dog document in a homeowners association.
Right.
It's kind of like a constitution. It's the declaration where you will find an article entitled property rights. It's usually a declaration that says these are the powers of the association. It's the document that usually says these are the restrictive covenants. There's no other restrictive covenants. These are the restrictive covenants. The board can't make up new ones. If you want to change this declaration, it takes a vote by the homeowners. The board sometimes is authorized to change bylaws. The board can make rules and regulations. But those are limited powers. If you want to change the constitution of your condo or your homeowners association, you need to get a change to the declaration. And the courts in Virginia have been finding that if that declaration doesn't authorize boards of directors to fine you, expressly authorize the boards to fine you, then the boards have no authority to fine you. And if the boards want that authority, then they have to go to the homeowners mm-hmm. to get it. If the boards want any more power than they've got right now to adopt new types of rules, to adopt types of rules that they can enforce just as though they were covenants, then the board has to go to the homeowners and ask the homeowners to change the declaration. Well, Delegate Massey's bill would have allowed the boards who tried to do that and failed to do it to go to a court and have the court do it. And the bill, House Bill 690, would have provided that the court shall have jurisdiction to reform in whole or part any provision of a declaration. Any provision. And there was no limit on that. So when I talked about why that was bad, one of the senators on the subcommittee number 2, asked me, well, how would you fix that, Mr. Short? Because, you know, it seems like you've got a point, but I don't know how you fix it. And I said, well, you know, what we were talking about when this started, what the legislation says is that this was supposed to be about a problem in the declaration that pertained to ownership and legal title of the common areas or real property. However, the grant of jurisdiction of a court doesn't appear to be limited to that. So the court could have jurisdiction if you really are going to let them amend any provision of a declaration to amend a provision of the declaration to change the powers of the board of directors. Gave them more power. Let them fine people whether the declaration gave them that power or not. They wanted it. The homeowners wouldn't give it to them. So they go to a court and they say, but we need this power. We want this power. Don't worry. We'll use it wisely.
Yeah.
If we find people, we'll find them kindly. We'll find them politely. So
and we'll foreclose even more kindly.
So what I replied to the senator is, well, in the language, in the provision of the bill where you confer jurisdiction on the court, why don't you limit that jurisdiction to matters regarding ownership of legal title of the common area or real property? And it was like light bulbs went on over the heads of everybody on the subcommittee. I said, yeah. That's what this was about in the first place. Why would we want to confer jurisdiction to do things that don't pertain to legal title of the common areas or real property? And so the amendment that we got was in that provision of the bill that conferred jurisdiction on the court. And it now reads, the court shall have jurisdiction over matters set forth in subsection A regarding ownership of legal title of the common areas or real property. And that,
period.
And that, is something that I think we can live with, because it doesn't just allow a court to get into changing the declaration for any reason whatsoever that has nothing to do with the legal title of, real property or the common areas.
But this has been something that CAI has been after for a long time. There's a memo from Bob Diamond that I have on my website, and he talks about this. And it was in response to two cases in Virginia where the association lost because they were exceeding the power of their authority, and they tried to amend the covenants to give themselves the power. And, Frank, the homeowners decided they didn't want it, so they didn't vote for it.
Right.
And CAI says, oh, but people are so apathetic, they don't know what's right, you know, what's good for them, and so they won't do it. We need to make that decision for them. And I just honestly, I really resent that.
Well, fortunately, fortunately for us, I'm not sure that it was fortunate for Delegate Massey or for the CAI Trade Association, but when Delegate Massey was explaining to the subcommittee why he wanted this bill, he said, well, you know, this was something that I brought on behalf of a constituent, and the constituent was a builder, and he had these lots in Richmond, and, we didn't know who owned what, and there was a dispute, and the homeowners, as you say, wouldn't go along with what the board wanted. And so we have to have another way to amend the governing documents just so that we know who owns what. I said, okay, well then, why don't you make sure that this bill lets a court decide who owns what when it comes to common areas or real property and not one thing more?
Yeah.
And he had no response to that.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing too. I mean, some of the legislators really didn't have a clue as to what their bills did. So it's obvious they didn't write them.
No, I don't think they wrote some. We know who wrote them.
We know who wrote them, and they couldn't defend them. They couldn't speak to them. I mean,
no.
They had their lobbyists. They had other people up there explaining it for them.
Yes. Well, I mean, these bills, I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever get written by CAI.
Oh, absolutely.
And then they're presented to the legislatures, with a, you know, sign here, and we're off to the races.
Yeah.
And the legislators buy into this bill of goods that, well, you know, we're CAI and, you know, we're taking care of the homeowners by doing this. Well, you know, they're taking care of themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they're taking care of their interests. And the only way that CAI gets any money is from the homeowners. They don't have another source. For the management companies, for the lawyers, if they want to get paid, that money's coming from a homeowner someplace. And so we had some success on 530 and 690 to tighten those bills up. And, you know, once again, we had the same sound effects from the back of the ring.
Yeah.
And and you and I were sitting there very happy and very amused, and we were very, very unpopular with a certain trade association.
Are you upset about it?
I'm crushed. I don't
really?
I don't know that I'll be able to live with myself much
longer.
You
look devastated. You look absolutely devastated, Frank.
Yes. House Bill 791.
All right. Now, this is the granddaddy of
this
them all.
This began as a bad bill from Delegate Lemunyan. As originally introduced, the bill would have permitted homeowners associations and condo board of directors, but not homeowners, to seek injunctive relief against homeowners in district courts. This is a big deal. District courts are the lowest level of the court system, and they generally don't have equitable powers. In other words, if you want an injunction against the homeowner, that's a court order that the association will do something or will stop doing something. Or if you want a declaratory judgment that the association doesn't have a power, that it's acting like it has, which is called an ultra vires act, you have to go to circuit court, which is more expensive, it's more formal, it's more time-consuming. What you get in the district court is sometimes described as frontier justice, but at least it's a real court with a real judge who is sworn to be unbiased. Well, Delegate Massey's bill started out bad.
Lemunyan.
Delegate Lemunyan's bill started out bad because it tilted the playing field, and it would have let associations go to district court, but not homeowners. The House delegates then took this bad bill, and they made it much worse. They amended it to permit condo boards of directors, after a, quote, hearing, unquote, before the board, or before whatever kangaroo court the board appoints, and we'll talk about kangaroo courts here in a minute, to fine homeowners for violating the governing documents. Whether the declaration gave the board that power or not. The only way that a board would not be able to fine you is if the declaration expressly said that the board can't fine you. Well, I'm sorry, but if a declaration is silent on the board having a power, then the board doesn't have that power.
That's pretty much a given in the law, isn't it?
It's a given in the law, and that's what the Shadowwood case was about, and that's what the Ferran case was about.
Right.
And so they fine you, and if you as a homeowner refuse to pay the fine, well, the board can sell your house at auction on the courthouse steps by non-judicial foreclosure, which means that the HOA or the condo never goes to court. They send you a letter, they put an ad in the newspaper, and the next thing you know, you get a knock at the door by the new owner of your home who bought it for pennies on the dollar.
Right.
They don't care because they're still making money. You have lost all your equity and you have lost your home. That's what this would permit. The declaration is a contract between the association and each homeowner. And the declarations provide procedures by which they can be amended. As we've already discussed, that's what Massey's bill was about.
Right.
And Delegate Lemunyan's bill would strip homeowners of this right and expose them to the Orwellian world of second-class citizenship, kangaroo courts, fines, and judicial foreclosure. When you mention the word kangaroo courts to CAI, they peeled themselves off the ceiling. We would never have kangaroo courts. Our boards are very judicious. Our boards are, you know, very interested in due process. We would Stop.
Right.
If you're talking about due process, the first thing I'll tell you is that those words, the words due process, do not appear anywhere in the Virginia Property Owners Association Act or the Virginia Condo Act. And that is not accidental, Because once you start using those words, people understand that if you're going to accord somebody due process, the first question you have to answer is, due process before whom? If a board of directors goes into Fairfax County Circuit Court against a homeowner, and somebody on that board of directors happens to be in the jury panel,
you think
they're going to get on the jury?
No, not at all.
Absolutely not. But they can sit there as a member of a kangaroo court and vote to fine you.
Oh, absolutely. So, it can be their rules.
So let's talk about what a kangaroo court is.
All right. What is a kangaroo court?
I happen to have a copy of a book called Black's Law Dictionary.
Ah.
And Black's Law Dictionary defines kangaroo court.
Okay.
And it defines it as follows. A self-appointed tribunal or mock court in which the principles of law and justice are disregarded, perverted, or parodied.
Perverted?
Or parodied. Kangaroo courts may be assembled by various groups, such as, you will love this, such as prisoners in a jail. To settle disputes between inmates.
Ooh.
Well, you know, we got some homeowners who live in these associations. Well, yeah. That sure sounds like what I'm seeing here.
Absolutely. Yeah,
or players on a baseball team to, quote, punish teammates who commit fielding errors. Kangaroo courts are tribunals characterized by unauthorized or irregular procedures, especially so as to render a fair hearing impossible, a sham legal proceeding. The term's origin is uncertain, but it appears to be an Americanism. It has been traced to 1853 in the American West. Kangaroo might refer to the illogical leaps between facts and conclusions, or to the hapless defendant's quick bounce from court to gallows.
I think that guy must have had a sense of humor, whoever he was.
Yes.
Who wrote that?
Yes, he had.
Must have known CAI, huh?
He had a sense of humor. So, we'll talk about where 791 is right now. As we sit here tonight, there are different versions of 791 that passed the House and Senate. The House passed it first. It went to the Senate. The Senate amended it. The amended language went back to the House. And on February 27th, the House, by a vote of 55-39, rejected the Senate amendments. On March 3rd, the Senate insisted on its amendment by a vote of 37-3. And on the same day, they requested a conference committee. Well, the conferees have now been appointed.
Right.
Three each from the House and the Senate. Of those six conferees, only two of them, one from the Senate committee and one from the House,
mm-hmm.
voted against this
yes.
bill on the floor.
2-1.
And so those two are Delegate Habib and Senator Peterson, and we'll talk more about Senator Peterson in a minute. So that was the status as of yesterday. We don't know, as we sit here tonight, what's happening in that committee. There are some stories going around that what will come out of that committee will not look like what went into that committee. And so whatever comes out of the committee will have to go back and pass both houses.
Oh, it will have to go back?
Yeah. And we'll have to see how that plays out. Now, what is it that we don't like about 791?
I don't like any of it.
Well,
I'd like to kill the whole thing.
Well, I would like to kill the whole thing, but we want to talk about what it is that makes us want to kill it. At least in Delegate Massey's bill about judicial reformation of declarations, at least in there, you had to go in front of a judge. The homeowners wouldn't give you what you wanted. You have to go to a judge to get it. Well, Delegate Lemonia thinks even that's too hard. Why trouble a judge? He's got better things to do than handle things like this. So we, the Virginia legislature, will just change the declaration ourselves. And we will simply say that unless the declaration specifically says that a board can't fine you, well, they can fine you.
They can. We give them that power.
They can. And that made its way, I'll talk about the Property Owners Association Act provision, but the language is the same on the condo side, would have said the following. The Board of Directors shall also have the power, to the extent the declaration or duly adopted rules and regulations expressly so provide, that's the law now, or as provided in this section. In other words, what you're about to hear is a new authority.
Right.
To assess charges against any member for any violation of the declaration or rules or regulations for which the member or his family, tenants, guests, or other invitees are responsible. Really? Really?
Oh.
And the association, but not the homeowner, can file an action in general district or circuit court and seek an order to require that any violation of the declaration or duly adopted rules and regulations be corrected. Now, when we got in front of the committee, we were handed a brand new version with this language in it. This was proposed after the bill cleared the House.
Yeah.
They anticipated that they might get some heavy rolls in the Senate. So they added the following. The powers authorized in this section or by the declaration shall be exercised by the association in good faith and not exercised frivolously, vexatiously, or, here's my favorite word, primarily for the purpose of harassment of the member.
I asked them, and I said, is it okay if it's a secondary one?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're harassing this member, and we know that we're doing that. And that is our intention to harass them. However, that is not our primary intention. Therefore, the harassment of the member is completely in accord with what Delegate Lemonian wanted us to be able to do.
Oh, he's a piece of work.
And, of course, once you tie that into what the law already says, the amount of any charges so assessed shall be treated as an assessment against the member's lot for the purposes of Section 55.516, which, as you know, Shu, is what?
It's non-judicial foreclosure.
It's the provision for non-judicial foreclosure
right.
that allows the association to sell your house
right.
by auction. And when I explained that to the subcommittee, it was like they'd never heard it before. They didn't believe it. They questioned me until I pointed out, here's exactly the language in 55.516. This is what it's about. It's about non-judicial foreclosure. And if you don't ask, if you don't believe me, ask these CAI guys in the back of the room.
There was a sucking.
At which point there was a sucking chest wound in the back part of the room.
But what's interesting, Frank, is they were very, very solicitous during the first two.
Mm-hmm.
They left this one to the end because the chair said this is the most contentious
yeah.
and controversial one. But yet they would not change a period on that.
No, we got nowhere.
We got that. Absolutely nowhere. They were it was like a blank wall.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that they all were totally ignorant. I know a lot of them were. They really didn't understand it. But for some reason, there was something about this bill that they desperately wanted.
Yeah. Well, they may not want it as much anymore because even before we went to Richmond, Shu and I attended a meeting of what's called the Northern Virginia Tea Party. We were invited to talk to them on issues of property rights. The Tea Party is very interested in protecting property rights. And we talked about these three bills. We talked about what they would do And the Tea Party audience asked some of the best questions.
Yeah. I mean, it was really good.
I've been practicing law for a long time. I've been in front of a lot of courts, and it was almost like explaining your position to an appellate court.
Yeah.
Fascinating questions, but we answered them all, and we answered them all by telling them, here's where you go to mm-hmm. check on what we're saying. Here's the case law. Here's the Gilman case. Here's the Ferran case. Here's the Shadowwood case. This is what those cases said. The Tea Party took a couple of days after that before they started doing anything. They were probably checking what we told them. I wrote a letter to Senator Peterson about that. I gave him a copy of the letter. It's a long letter, and it's written by a lawyer, addressed to a lawyer, who's also a legislator. And, you know, I said, here's the legal issues here. You are buying into a constitutional issue on fining if you pass this, based mm-hmm. on the Gilman case.
Right.
The argument against what you're doing is that it is an unconstitutional delegation of a judicial power by the legislator. And somebody will take that up. And somebody, some poor homeowner, will have to take what Justice Mims called a quixotic quest to right this wrong. And the guy who took it up to Justice Mims the last time walked away with a lot of money to pay his attorney. Because Justice Mims said, I thought we made this clear in the White case, White versus Boundary uh-huh. Association, that 55-5-15 says the winner gets attorney fees.
Right.
And if you didn't get it then, read my lips.
Get it now.
We're now, you know, there we said it implicitly, now we're making it explicit. The winner gets attorney fees. Get out.
Right.
So, in the morning, we were in front of the subcommittee. In the afternoon, the full committee
mm-hmm.
heard the bill. And the full committee listened to the CAI folks for quite a length of time.
Yes.
And then one senator said to the chairman of the full committee, Madam Chairman, there are people that we heard from this morning who opposed this bill.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to give them an opportunity to talk to us about why they opposed it? Well, I don't think that was the highlight of the chair's day. But she said, all right, who wants to speak in opposition?
There's one person allowed
yeah,
to speak.
And yeah, and I guess I was closest to the podium, so they let me speak.
Now you were the one to go.
I gave him the same arguments I'd given to the subcommittee in the morning, and, you know, talked about the effect of the bill, talked about the constitutional issues, talked about the absence of any type of due process. No matter what you put in a bill, you're not going to get due process in front of a board of directors of a homeowners association. And they were very polite, and then they all voted to, not all, I think there was one no vote from Senator Deeds.
Yes, and yeah.
And Senator Deeds, Senator Deeds not only voted no, he voted no rather vociferously.
Yeah.
And he pointed down the line of his fellow senator and said, I vote no.
Yeah. No, he was great. He was wonderful.
He said he had a constituent who had contacted him about this and was very, very concerned that we were changing his declaration in the legislature, and he wasn't having any say in what his board was or was not allowed to do,
mm-hmm.
and he was not happy about it, and he didn't want this passed. And Senator Deeds immediately grasped that, and he grasped the implications for property rights and everything else, and he voted no. Unfortunately, Senator Deeds is not on the conference committee. That would have made me very happy. Now, Senator Peterson, who got my letter and who I believe would have been very sympathetic to our position.
He's taken up the crusade, hasn't he?
Well, in the full committee, he voted for 791. And he talked to me afterwards and he said, well, I can't help you on the fining thing, but the other stuff you talked about how only an association can go into district court, I want to fix that. And if you send me language, I'll see what I can do to fix it. So I sent him some language. Well, he gave me a very fair hearing and listened very closely to everything I said on the fines and on the tilted playing field. And I guess I wasn't the only one he listened to, but Senator Peterson has changed his mind on 791.
He's committed to making sure that that doesn't go through.
Well, he is now one of the leaders of the opposition to this, and he's been mentioned in a couple of articles on it that we have here tonight. The first one is Dateline Richmond, Virginia. It's dated March 4th, 2 days ago. And this story says, a bill giving draconian extra legal powers to homeowners associations is taking a beating from Democrats and Tea Party Republicans, but it's on the verge of becoming law. House Bill 791, quote, aims to protect residents living in homeowners association condominium associations from overly aggressive enforcement of association rules, said sponsoring delegate Jim Lemunyan, Republican Chantilly, to which we reply, ha.
Very funny.
Critics say that the measure does the reverse, and they call it an end run around property rights. Quote, somewhere George Orwell is rolling over in his grave, unquote, said State Senator Chet Peterson, Democrat Fairfax. What we're doing here is saying that a homeowners association, even if it doesn't have the power stated in its charter, will be allowed to exercise additional powers, Peterson said during debate on the bill. This was debate on the floor of the Senate when he proposed an amendment that was not accepted. Leaders of the Northern Virginia Tea Party and Arlington County Tea Party, among others, agree with Peterson. Arlene Smith, lead organizer of the Arlington group, said House Bill 791 attempts to grant power to HOAs, quote, that they could not get from their own members. And she is absolutely right.
Yeah, she's right. Dead on.
The push for the bill comes from management companies and attorneys representing associations.
Yay.
That's absolutely right.
Absolutely.
After losing a series of court decisions, and we've talked about some of those court decisions, not exactly all of them, but we've talked about some of those court decisions on this show, over heavy-handed enforcement actions, HOA lawyers are seeking broader authority through the General Assembly. And that is exactly right.
That is true.
This is HOA lawyers would like these powers for their boards. After reading the fine print, Senator Peterson says he is now having none of it. These boards, quote, these boards have a power which is not even held by city councils or county boards. The power to assess and collect fines and assert a lien against property even without a court order, unquote, Peterson said. Of course, they can do more than put a lien on. They can take your house away.
Yeah, they'd foreclose.
Quote, this power can lead to a $50 fine for offenses as mundane as leaving out toys or hanging up Christmas lights, unquote, said Peterson, himself a lawyer. In addition to fines and liens, Lemunyan's measure would empower associations to shut off electricity to offending homeowners. Republican State Senator Bill Stanley of Moneta said House Bill 791 has due process problems.
No kidding.
No kidding. Quote, I honestly believe that this legislation violates our rights in the Constitution, unquote, Stanley said. Peterson said that the measure, quote, represents a landmark change in Virginia's property laws, unquote, and they are both absolutely right.
Correct, yeah.
With slightly different versions of House Bill 791 clearing the House and the Senate, the bill now heads to a legislative conference committee. There, opponents will try to scuttle the measure. Well, the opponents are outnumbered 4-2 by our count.
Yeah.
If that fails, critics can only hope for a vote, a veto by Governor Terry McAuliffe, a former home builder. So
there's, you know, Frank, there's another article right under that page.
Yes, there is. And this one is from townhall.com. It is 2 days ago, March 4th, Dateline, Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah, I think that's the one you just read. It's right under that page. The page you just put, the top. Yeah, that one. Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
Because there's something in there that I really like. So
yeah, this is WTVR.com, March 4th, Dateline, Richmond, Virginia. And this is attributed to Joe St. George. Are you a member of a homeowners association? It's estimated that over 60 million Americans are. And now, a bill in the General Assembly, which the House and Senate have already cleared different versions of, would give HOAs more authority. The bill allows homeowners associations to impose fines even if their charter does not allow for it, unless covenant rules explicitly say, quote, no fines, unquote. One version even allows for utilities to be shut off if fines aren't paid in a timely manner. I don't want someone coming in here and telling me what to do, said Dan Matthews, a member of the Willbrook Community Association in Henrico. Matthews says he was initially resistant to joining an HOA, although he eventually did, comforted by the fact that his HOA didn't currently have the authority to impose fines. Still, not all HOA members are upset with neighborhood groups having authority. Lisa Jones, who lives in Henrico's Wyndham development, where have we heard Wyndham before?
Yes.
said her HOA ensures property values are maintained.
I love her reasoning, Frank.
If you didn't, you could have someone come in here and put up a purple balloon on their roof that drives down all of our property values. Jones said. While different versions of the bill have passed the House and Senate, the bill is currently in a conference committee where an unusual alliance is beginning to form between liberal Democrats and Tea Party Republican groups that are concerned about property rights. The alliance appears to be reducing support for the bill across the General Assembly. Quote, I think we're trying to put this bill to bed right now, State Senator Chet Peterson said. Original sponsor Jim Lemunyan, Republican, was unavailable at the time of this publication, although a spokesman for his office told Channel 6 that he expects the bill to have, quote, major changes, unquote, to it in the next couple of days. Well, Delegate Lemunyan, from your lips to God's ears is all that we can say.
You know, how many times have you seen purple balloons on people's roofs, Frank?
Oh, they're all over. Sure. I mean, you can't drive through our association without seeing purple balloons and unpolished doorknobs and the houses that are the wrong shade of white. And I don't know how we can continue to live there anymore.
I mean, purple balloons. You know, we are out of time, but I just wanted to say that I did talk to Lemunyan, and he claims that he's doing this for a little lady who plans on retiring soon, one of his constituents, because couple of her neighbors don't keep their property quite up to her standards.
Yeah, he's doing it for a little old lady, all right. The little old lady is a member of CAI and is a paid lobbyist who's writing bills for him. What was it that he said on the floor of the house? Well, my experts told me that this wouldn't change anybody's declaration.
Yeah, my experts. And the thing is, he doesn't understand the bill because he had to have someone come and talk about it. But I told LaMunyon, I said, you know, your little lady may lose, very well lose everything. She may lose her house because of your bill. He said, only if she violates a rule.
Right. Well, let him talk to a little old lady named Winona Blevins down in the state of Texas who lost her house and then it all came to light that she lost her house because the association was charging her assessments they had no right to charge.
To charge her. That's
and
exactly right.
Fortunately, because a very good lawyer in the state of Texas got involved and helped her, she got her house back. And she
Marion
got a lot of money.
Rosen. Yeah, she did.
And,
she got $300,000.
Yeah. And so the association in that case and their CAI-affiliated lawyer got a well-deserved ass blistering.
No, they didn't. Nothing happened to them, Frank. Nothing happened to them because don't you remember Tom Skiba said no one complained when we asked what happened to them?
Yeah.
Nobody complained.
I'll take Tom Skiba's answer about that with about a 5-pound bag of salt. You know.
Thanks. Thanks for coming in, Frank.
Always fun, Jim.
Yeah. And happy St. Patrick's Day.
Well, yeah, I guess we're going to air this before the usual St. Patrick's Day show. And what you need to do, folks, if you're interested in this, you need to contact your legislators. If you don't know who they are, just Google Virginia Legislature and you will be able to find out who represents you. There's also a terrific site called Richmond Sunlight. And you can go on Richmond Sunlight and you can look up these bills. It'll tell you what the status of the bills are, and it will let you comment on the bill. And there's a place where you can vote. It says, do you think that this bill should become law?
Go vote no. Thank you very much. Thanks for joining us.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. No
those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.